Okay, good morning. Hope you all have been enjoying your time in Boise. And I'm super excited for the group of presentations we have lined up here today. I'm glad to be starting off, and I just wanted to kind of start with a trend for syphilis in Idaho. Of course, you may know that syphilis rates in the nation have been increasing since about 2000. I believe it was at that time when it was the lowest our syphilis rates have been since reporting began, and it was a matter of a few years before that when we began speaking about syphilis elimination. But certainly the tide has changed, and in Idaho it's been no different. Our incidence rate has been on an overall rising trend from a low of 0.8 in 2006 to a high of 6.2 in 2015, and more than doubling between 2014 and 2015. Sharp increases in Idaho are driven at times by localized outbreaks. And during 2015, this was the case when a syphilis outbreak was declared in southwest and central Idaho, which includes the Boise area and the most populous counties of Idaho. Early on during this outbreak, three persons were found to have repeat syphilis infection, which really piqued our interest and motivated us to study repeat syphilis infection statewide. So previous studies have suggested that repeat syphilis infection might contribute to increased syphilis transmission. Either there's a suspicion of having more core transmitters or who have frequent and overlapping sexual partnerships, or by being driven by smaller condensed sexual networks with higher syphilis prevalence. With this in mind, our goal was to characterize persons with reported repeat syphilis infection in Idaho, which might inform our syphilis prevention efforts. We performed analyses to address our three primary objectives. First, to describe and compare demographic, clinical, and epidemiologic characteristics of persons with repeat and non-repeat syphilis infection, as well as examine whether demographic, clinical, and epidemiologic characteristics of persons with repeat syphilis infection vary by HIV infection status. And last, explore how epidemiologic characteristics of persons with repeat syphilis infection might have changed between the initial infection and repeat infection. We selected methods to provide standard timely data in accomplishing our objectives. So we examined our STD surveillance data. We included early syphilis stages only. That's the primary, secondary, and early latent syphilis stages. Case definitions from CDC, as they represent the closest proxy for incident infections with a duration of less than or equal to 12 months. Our case definition was greater than or equal to two early syphilis infections during 2011 through 2015. Non-repeat cases were persons with one early syphilis infection during the same time period. To accurately determine repeat syphilis status and HIV STD co-infection status, it was necessary to find and merge potentially duplicate person records. So to accomplish this, we concatenated the STD and HIV surveillance data sets, which we had in three different data systems, using SAS 9.3, and employed probabilistic matching using Link Plus 2.0 on a combination of patient first and last names, sex, and date of birth to identify these potential duplicates. Matches were manually reviewed for accuracy, and the unified patient identification number was created from the deduplicated data set and relinked with a concatenated STD and HIV surveillance case data set to create a master case data set. HIV and partner services data were then linked to the master case data set, and partner information as well as partner services outcomes were summarized to the case level. Case interview and summary partner services data belonging to patients who were diagnosed with syphilis between 2011 and 2015 were filtered from the master case data set and analyzed for the study. There were 207 early syphilis cases reported in Idaho during this time period among 194 persons. 14 persons had repeat syphilis infection and 180 had only one infection. However, to reduce misclassification as a non-repeat, we excluded one person who had a reported early syphilis infection during the 5 years previous to our study period, 2006 through 2011, which left 179 in that group, and together the analytic sample was 193 persons. These are our results. I know this is a crowded table, but just to point things out, this is our baseline characteristics are here on the left column. Persons who have greater than or equal to two syphilis infections are repeats. The non-repeats, people who had one infection here, and our p-values from these baseline characteristics are in the rightmost column. Although repeat syphilis infections were among males, all repeat syphilis infections were among males, sex and other basic demographic variables, age, ethnicity, and race were not significantly different for persons with repeat syphilis compared to those with one infection. When assigning a significance to p-values of less than 0.05, there was, however, a significant difference found in patient residents at initial infection, with higher proportions of persons having repeat infection residing in public health districts 6 and 7, these southeastern and eastern regions you see here in green and purple. Among baseline clinical characteristics, differences were significant in stage of infection. Also significant was having positive HIV infection status and a history of STD. Additionally, we examined proportion of low-risk contacts, those persons who were either treated or examined among repeat and non-repeat syphilis cases. The hypothesis that the proportion of examined partners might be associated with a likelihood of reinfection did not hold true to a significance of less than 0.05. In addition to the aforementioned analyses, we found no significant changes in key epidemiologic characteristics such as sex of sex partners, number of contacts, and standard risk variables between initial infection and repeat infection. Additionally, there were no significant differences in any characteristics among persons with repeat infection when compared by HIV status. In conclusion, compared with persons with out-reported repeat syphilis infection, we found persons with repeat syphilis infection more likely had secondary or early latent syphilis and were HIV positive, similar to what has been found in previous studies. Having a history of STD was also more likely for persons with repeat syphilis infection, and characteristics of persons with repeat syphilis infection did not vary by HIV status. As well, no significant changes were evident between initial and repeat infection, which might indicate that those persons did not change their risk behaviors after their initial diagnosis. And last, it may be helpful to use HIV status and history of STD to enhance our STD-HIV testing, interview, and partner services to prevent syphilis reinfection in Idaho. Strengths of this study include using statewide public health surveillance data, the examination of various standard demographic, clinical, and epidemiologic characteristics, and based on our literature review, the first analysis of repeat syphilis infection in generally rural state in the Northwest. The limitations, of course, are a small number of cases, the presence of missing and unknown values in our data, and potentially missing repeat cases when they're diagnosed outside of our reporting area. I'd like to acknowledge the hard work of my colleagues, Ahmed Kassem, our EIS officer, and, of course, the world's greatest career epidemiology field officer, Chris Carter, as well as the public health district personnel who worked so hard to investigate and document syphilis in Idaho. Thank you.